Joshua chapter 14. I was reading through the book of Joshua. It's been a few months back, and I come across an idea or something that kind of jumped out and caught my attention. And as I meditated upon it, thought about it, the Lord brought this message about. So tonight we're going to kind of take a look here at the life of Caleb and pull out some principles out of his life I think will help us. So let's all stand, please. Joshua chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 6, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says this: "And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kizanite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 45 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizanite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you that we can come to it tonight. God, we can draw strength from it. Lord, you can feed us through it. And God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we need your word tonight. God, we need you to speak to us. And God, I pray that you do that. Help us, Lord, to learn these Bible principles, Lord, and then to apply them to our lives. And bless our pastor, Lord. Thank you for him, God. Thank you for all that he does, Lord, and his faithfulness to you. And I pray that you bless him tonight and bring him back safe to us tomorrow. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Tonight I've entitled this Bible study, How to Take a Mountain. How to Take a Mountain. Now, we're not going to get our ropes and our chalk bags, and you know, we're not going to grab our climbing equipment. That's not the kind of taking a mountain I'm talking about. But I believe there's some principles here that we can learn from the life of Caleb that we can apply to our lives as God endeavors us to take some spiritual mountains for him. First of all, I want to take a look at this man named Caleb. Caleb is a very remarkable man. I know no other man in the Bible who is 85 years old, but yet, you know, he still has the same strength he had when he was 40. And how many of us envy that? Amen. And I'm not there yet. And I tell people I'm going to try not to get old, but inevitably, I'm sure it's going to happen. But what a man Caleb was. And first of all, we see Caleb's name mentioned first in Numbers 13 as the spy chosen from the tribe of Judah. And of course, you know how the story was. The children of Israel, God commanded them to choose 12 spies, one from every tribe, and to go check out the land of Canaan they were about ready to enter into. And Caleb, I mean, what an honor it would have been to have been, the person chosen out of the tribe. Out of, you know, each tribe contains thousands and thousands of men, but yet Caleb was chosen. And you know what? I don't think it was by accident that Caleb was part of the tribe that Jesus descended from. And he was from the tribe of Judah, and Caleb was a man of great caliber. And I don't think it's by accident that Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And also in Numbers 13:30, he is the one that the Bible says that it uses this phrase, he stilled the people. He stilled the people and encouraged the people to immediately go and possess the land. Well, you know what happened. The spies came back. 10 of them gave a good report, 10 of them gave a bad report. 2 of them gave a good report. Brother Mike's favorite song in Point Children's Church. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. But the 10 gave a bad report, and they got the people all worked up. And they started telling about the giants in the land. They started telling about the hard things that they didn't think they could do to do what God wanted them to do. But yet, when the 10 bad spies got the people in an uproar, the Bible says that Caleb stilled the people. And he encouraged the people to immediately go and possess the land. Caleb was ready to obey God. Caleb was ready to do what God wanted him to do. And then next we find Joshua and Caleb together when the multitude decided that they weren't going to go. And they decided they were going to not obey God. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes before the congregation. And they rebuked the congregation for their unbelief. And the Bible says this. And you know, you read through there and sometimes you don't really comprehend what's going on all the time. And I guess I never really saw this until I studied this out. But the Bible says that the congregation picked up stones or were about ready to stone Joshua and Caleb for rebuking the people for their unbelief. And the congregation was getting ready to kill them, but God showed up. And the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple. And God had something to say about their unbelief. And we know that God promised and allowed Caleb to enter the promised land because the Bible uses this phrase, the other spirit that was with him. The other spirit that was with him. That tells me his spirit of trusting in God. When all else looked doom and glum, Caleb, his spirit, trusted in God. And because of that, God allowed Caleb to enter the promised land. And we know that Joshua and Caleb were, of course, not killed by the plague that killed the other 10 spies who brought back an evil report. And then, of course, several times as you read through the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, it talks about Caleb and how he was going to be able to re-enter the promised land. And then we find here the story we read tonight about how Caleb had his eyes set on a mountain. And he had this eye set on this certain piece of land because it was the piece of land that they went and spied out. And Moses told Caleb, hey, because you wanted to go in that land, one of these days, God's going to give you that mountain and your children that mountain because of your faithfulness to him. So we want to examine tonight the scripture and see how Caleb took the mountain that God had given him. And I believe we can take these principles that we will learn and we can apply them to our lives so that we can take the mountains that God has for us to take in our lifetime. And I want to say this, God does want us to take some mountains. I'm going to say that again. God wants us to take some mountains. You know, I believe there are some mountainous things that God wants us to accomplish in our lifetime. And you know what the problem with the church and the land of sea? You know what the problem was? The Bible says they were lukewarm. You know what lukewarm is? Lukewarm is comfortable. And they got comfortable in how they were living. And they weren't a mountain-taking church. And that kind of Christian life, the lukewarm, the comfortable Christian life, it makes Jesus Christ literally want to puke. But I believe God has some mountains he wants us to take in our lifetime. You know the reason that we are here in this building and here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is because one day some men decided to take a mountain. You know, our heritage here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is full of mountain taking. There's been a lot of mountains taken around here through the years. But you know what? I don't believe that it should just be our heritage. I believe it should be our mindset for today. I don't believe it should just have been what happened in the past. I'm glad for those mountains that were taken. I'm glad that some of you older men fought the battles back in the day. And I'm glad that you stepped up and you did what was right. But you know what? There's still some mountains today that God wants us to take. And it's not over with them. And we got to take our mountains. And you know what? I want to take some mountains. You know, I want to influence the generation underneath me to want to take some mountains. And I believe God wants all of us to take some mountains for Him. You know what? I believe right out there is a mountain we're trying to take. Oh, that's a mountain out there we're trying to take. And, you know, when we talk to different people, and in fact, other churches about, you know, our building project, and we tell them that we're raising the money as we go, and that we're paying for it, that their mouths about fall open. I mean, that's a foreign concept to most churches. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and he's an assistant pastor where they're going through a building project, and I was asking him how they're raising the money. And he told me that, you know, the church has a $1 million revolving account with their bank. And, you know, I'm not downing that. That's the way they want to do it. But around here, this is how we build. You know what? That's taking a mountain. And you know what? I'm glad that we can be part of taking a mountain. You know, I believe back in May when we went to Washington, D.C., I believe that we took a mountain when we went there. I believe that in endeavoring to do that, we took a mountain. And I believe that our pastor is leading us in the mountain-taking business. And I'm thankful for a pastor who's got some vision. I'm glad for a pastor who doesn't just sit around on his duff, sitting in his office, you know, picking the fried chicken from between his teeth. I'm glad we don't have a pastor like that. We got a pastor who has a vision, and he's leading us to take some mountains. Now, you know what? Let us get aboard, and let's help him take some mountains. And tonight, I want to look at four things that we find in the life of Caleb, simply entitled this, How to Take a Mountain. First of all, well, let's look in verse 8 of chapter 14. The Bible says this, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. The first thing we got to have that we see in the life of Caleb to take a mountain is complete obedience to God's will. You know, when referring to Caleb's obedience to God, we find this phrase, wholly followed the Lord. That phrase, wholly followed the Lord, is found only 6 times in the Bible. And every time that phrase is found, it's referring to Caleb. Every time that phrase is found. And you know what? Caleb didn't go halfway. You know, I believe this. I believe that partial obedience isn't obedience at all. And you know what? Caleb knew that God wanted him to take that mountain. And you know what? If Caleb would have settled on the land maybe around the mountain, that's not obedience. But yet, complete obedience to God's will. You know, oftentimes we think of obedience as something that we hammer to our kids and teens. But you know, why are we trying to teach them to obey? You know, think about that for a minute. You know, we do talk about to our kids in our ministries here and at home as parents. We teach them. We want them to obey. We teach our teens to obey. But you ever think of why we're trying to teach them to obey? So that when they, so that one day when they grow up, they'll obey God in their lives. That's why we try to teach our kids to obey. So that if they will obey us as parents, one day they'll obey God when He speaks to them to want to do something. And you know what? God wants complete obedience from us. Complete obedience. And you know what? Let me ask you a question. And folks, I want you to know something. I'm not preaching at you tonight, okay? I'm right out here with you. And, you know, I'm just as much, you know, this sermon's for me as it is for any of us. But you know what? According to the Bible, let me ask you this. According to the Bible, is it right for we as Christians to proclaim the gospel? Is that right as we as Christians? Absolutely, that is correct. You can't go to the Bible and not see how important it is that we as Christians proclaim the gospel. So let me ask you this. Because it's a command in the Bible, if we don't do that, are we obedient or disobedient? We're disobedient, aren't we? If we do not proclaim the gospel, we're disobedient. We can carry that over to every command in the Bible. Is it right to tithe? Absolutely, we know it's right to tithe. Is it right to dress modestly? Absolutely it is. You know what? You fill in the blank. You know, any Bible principle that God commands us to do. So if the Word of God teaches it and we refuse to do it, are we obedient or disobedient? We're disobedient. And you know what? Remember, now remember, if we want to take a mountain, it takes complete obedience now, okay? Because that's what Caleb did. The Bible says that he wholly followed the Lord, his God, all right? So if we want to be the caliber of a Christian that can take a mountain, we must be completely obedient. You know, I noticed something in verse 8. His decision, Caleb's decision, to wholly follow the Lord his God wasn't based upon his emotional feelings. And you know what? He decided to obey God whether he felt like it or not. And you know what it says here? It says this. He says that, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. Okay, all the people were, you know, their hearts melted within them. They were emotionally distraught. But yet Caleb didn't let his emotions rule his decision making. And you know what, folks? Here's a good piece of advice. Leave your feelings out of your decisions to do right. Leave your feelings out of the way. Obey out of principle and not out of feeling. You know what? You know, it's a test of our love for God. God wants to know whether or not we will obey Him, whether or not we feel like it or not. And let me just give you a hint, and all you know this, but our flesh doesn't always feel like doing what's right, does it? You know what? This afternoon, you know, 90 degrees, humidity. I didn't feel like going out in the humidity and going soul winning today, taking the teens out soul winning. But you know what? I don't base my decision upon doing right based on how I feel. And, guys, you don't always feel like loving your wife, do you? I mean, you don't always feel like it. I mean, when, you got your golf game plan and you got the buddies lined up to go and, your wife needs you to stay home and babysit the kids. You know, you don't feel like loving your wife then, okay? But you know what? You do watch right anyway. Okay? Now, I'm not speaking from experience. I promise you that, okay? I'm not. But you know what? You don't always feel like doing what's right. That's why we base doing what's right upon principle and not by feeling. You know what? Do you want to take a mountain for God? You want to take a mountain for God? Then remember, it takes complete obedience. If we're content to just exist our Christian life and not accomplish any great things for God, and don't worry about complete obedience. If you just want to exist through your Christian life and you just want to, be mediocre and not accomplish any mountain-taking things for God, then don't worry about complete obedience. For you know what? With that kind of attitude, you're not even going to take an anthill, let alone a mountain. Because God requires complete obedience. And I find that in the life of Caleb here. He obeyed completely. God said, hey, I want you to take the promised land. Caleb was ready to go, but yet God intervened. But yet when he came back, he knew that God wanted him to have that mountain, and he went for it. So first of all, it takes complete obedience. Next, it brings you to my second point is this. It takes dedication. You want to take a mountain for God? It takes dedication. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. This is what Caleb said. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You know, I love this attitude from Caleb. You know what? This is not what Caleb said. He didn't come to Joshua and say, well, Joshua, if you could spare all of Israel's armies, throw in a few regiment of tanks, some B-52s, and a nuclear warhead, I might be able to take them out. I mean, if you can spare all that stuff, I might be able to do it. I'll tell you what I'll do, Joshua. I'll try, Joshua. I'll try to take it. I'll do my best. You know what? That was the attitude Caleb had. And you know what, folks? Sometimes just doing your best isn't good enough. You know what? Sometimes we just need to take the mountain. Notice what Caleb said here. I love it what he said. Look here at verse 12. It says this. Now therefore, give me this mountain. I love it. Now therefore, give me this mountain. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. That's an attitude of dedication. You know, Caleb didn't look at his huge task of this big old mountain he had to take and say, man, this looks hard. I just don't know if I can do it because, after all, it might require me to sweat a little bit. It might require me to work a little bit. I don't know if I could take this mountain or not. No, you know what he said? He said, now therefore, give me this mountain. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Those are some absolute statements. And you know what? Caleb had an attitude of dedication. And I ask myself this question. I ask us this question tonight. Where is that attitude in the church of Jesus Christ today? Where's the attitude of dedication? Where's the attitude of dedication of our early forefathers who gave up everything in the pursuit of religious freedom? Who came to this country and even as Baptists were persecuted, were killed, were martyred, all because they wanted to establish the right kind of church. Where is that attitude in the church of Jesus Christ today? You know what? This was not going to be an easy task. You know, here we read it. It's a story to us. It's a song we sing in the hymn book. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Okay, but you know what? This wasn't an easy task. There's usually a reason why a mountain is hard to take. I mean, think about it for a minute. There's usually a reason why a mountain is hard to take. In verse 12, it describes a little bit about this mountain. It says this. The Anakims were there. The Anakims were a race of giants. Okay? These were not the people you wanted to mess with. Okay? In fact, Goliath descended from the Anakims. Okay? This was a bad race of people. The Bible says this. That the cities were great and fenced. Strategically, the cities on the mountain had the advantage over Caleb.
I mean, the odds were not with Caleb on taking this mountain. I mean, you know, if you were a betting person, you wouldn't lay your money down on Caleb. I mean, the odds were for the Anakims who lived in the mountains. Yet look at verse 14 and 15. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, to this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba.
No, it says now Caleb, or Hebron, is Caleb's inheritance. You know why? Because he took the mountain. And you know what? Caleb was dedicated to the cause of taking that mountain. And you know what? If we here at Blessed Hope are going to be a mountain-taking church, then we must be dedicated to the cause. If we're going to take some mountains, we must be dedicated to the cause. You know what? When the circumstances seem too hard, we need to stay dedicated. When the enemy begins to fight, we need to stay dedicated. When the odds seem to be stacked against us, we need to stay dedicated to taking the mountain. Now, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about when you find out you have cancer, you stay dedicated to the work of God. I'm talking about when you lose someone that is close to you. You stay dedicated to the work of God. I'm talking about when tragedy strikes and you want to point an accusing finger in the face of God. You stay dedicated to the cause and to the work. Folks, eternity is coming. We must stay dedicated. Eternity is coming. Heaven is not really that far away, folks. Jesus Christ is on His way. We must stay dedicated to taking the mountain. It's not always easy. Taking the mountains never was an easy job. And, you know, if doing something hard, well, we always based upon whether we're going to do it, whether it was hard or not, this country would not be founded today. And, you know, I think of our troops. I think of, you know, all the famous historical battles that were fought. And you know what? They weren't easy battles. But yet, because some young men were dedicated to the cause of freedom, we now live in America we live in today. We must stay dedicated. The Church of Jesus Christ must stay dedicated to the cause of taking some spiritual mountains. So how to take a mountain? Number one, complete obedience to God's will. It takes complete obedience to God's will. Number two, it takes dedication. Number three, now you might think that this next point doesn't really belong. And you may think that I'm trying just to, you know, butter up to the pastor since he's gone because he's going to listen to this. And if you think that, you're exactly right. Okay, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. But no, let me prove to you that what this next point is a part of the formula of taking a mountain. We said, first of all, complete obedience to God's will. Number two, dedication. Number three is this, submission to God's man. Submission to God's man. You say, how does that have to do with taking a mountain? Well, let's look. Let's look in the life of Caleb. Look here at verse 6 in chapter 14. Then the children of Judah came into Joshua in Gilgal. Notice who they came into. They came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And, you know, when it talks about Joshua here, it's establishing the fact that they came unto him. And notice what it says here. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, said unto him. Who's he talking with here? He's talking to Joshua. Who is Joshua? Joshua is the spiritual leader of Israel. Notice with me, if you will, down in verse 13. It says this. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. You know what? Caleb came to Joshua and said, look, Joshua, this is how it's going to be, all right? Moses promised me this land. I'm coming to you. Well, you know, and this is the plan. I'm going to lay the plan out for you. What do you think about it? And you know what Joshua did? Joshua blessed Caleb's endeavor. Look with me if over in chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says this. And to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part of the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua. You know who the commandment came to give Caleb his inheritance? It came to Joshua. You know why? Because Joshua was the spiritual authority in Caleb's life. And all of Caleb's actions were sanctioned and blessed by God's authority figure, Joshua. And you know, even though the mountain was what God wanted Caleb to do, Caleb submitted to the authority in his life. And you know what this to me? This speaks of the humility and the greatness of Caleb. You know, I want you to think about this for a minute.
You know, Caleb and Joshua used to serve together under Moses. They both served together. I would dare say that Caleb and Joshua were pretty good friends. And they had a good camaraderie there. And they were buddies. But you know what? When Joshua became in charge, Caleb submitted even probably to his old buddy. And Caleb became in submission to God's authority in his life. And folks, all through the Bible, submission to godly authority is clearly seen. It's all through the Bible. It's part of God's plan to accomplish His will. It's for us to submit to godly authority in our lives. And you know what? You want to take a mountain for God? You want to take that mountain God has for you? Then we must be in submission to God's authority in our life. You know what? It would be like this, okay? If I had this great idea, okay, and I thought that I had something that I thought would be a mountain that God wanted for me to conquer, but Pastor Jerry advised me that it wasn't a good idea. And maybe he said that, you know what, you know, that's a good idea, but now's just not the right time for it. I don't think you should do that. Okay? It would be like me, you know, stomping out of his office and getting mad and, you know, thinking he's just trying to squelter me down and keep me from doing what God wants me to do. And, you know, that's what it would be like if, you know, if I went ahead and did it anyway, because I wouldn't be submitting to my spiritual authority. But you know what? Mountain takers are authority submitters. Let me say that again. Mountain takers are authority submitters. And you know what? God reveals His vision to His man, and it's our job to get in behind the man and to submit to godly authority in our lives. You know what? Submitting to authority is safe as a follower. Because when you submit to godly authority, when you put your actions in the authority's hands, then you're safe. Because you submit to the godly authority in your life. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you." God tells us, God commands us to obey, for us to obey those that have the rule over us. And it's our job as members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to submit to our pastor's authority. Right. And that's God's will for all of us. You don't have to pray about it. If the pastor, you know, wants us to do something, you don't have to go home and wonder whether or not I need to pray and see if that's what God wants me to do, okay? If the pastor suggests it or the pastor wants us to do it, I believe that that's what we ought to do, because the pastor commands or asks us to do that. And you'll never go wrong by submitting to godly authority. And so we must, it's our job to submit to godly authority. And you know what? That's what Caleb did. Caleb submitted, and because of that, he was able to take that mountain. So how to take a mountain? Number one, complete obedience to God's will. Number two, dedication to the cause. It takes dedication, folks. Okay? Taking a mountain is not easy work. It's not a fun play time. It's hard work. So it takes dedication. And then, of course, submission to God's man. I believe that if Joshua would have told Caleb, you know what, Caleb, I don't think maybe you should do this at this time, or I don't maybe think this is what you should do. I don't think Caleb would have done it. I think Caleb was submitted to God's man. You know, that's why it's important for the authority to be in connection with God. That's why it's very important. Because if we as followers are going to put our trust in godly authority, we better make sure that we're following someone who's close to God. And I will tell you this, the man we follow here is. I promise you he is. And thank goodness for godly authority. And that's what Caleb did. He submitted to God's man. And the last thing I see here in order to take a mountain is this. I see unselfishness. You say, unselfishness? I mean, where's that come about? Well, look. Let's look here in verse 14. The Bible says this. In chapter 14, verse 14. "Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Okay, so according to that verse, Hebron was the inheritance of Caleb. All right, now, if you will, turn with me, please, over to chapter 21 of Joshua. And let's read a couple verses over here. This thought right here was the catalyst for me to preach this message. This thought, this is the thought that I read, and it kind of captured me. Let's read verses 8 through 13 in chapter 21. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are here mentioned by name. Okay, we're going to mention the cities that were given to the Levites. Verse 10, which the children of Aaron, being the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had, for theirs was the first lot. And they gave them the city of Araba, the father of Anak, which city is what? Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. I want you to think about this for a minute. You know what? They gave Hebron to the Levites. I thought we just read back in chapter 14 that Hebron belonged to Caleb. You know what? It did belong to Caleb, but he gave it willingly to the Levites. And you know what this teaches me? I believe that Hebron was the best city on that mountain. You read about Hebron, you study it out. Hebron continues to go throughout Bible history. And Hebron is a very important city here. I believe it was the best city on that mountain. And you know what Caleb did? When it came time for him to give part of his inheritance to the Levites, which God commanded all the tribes to do, because the Levites didn't have their own inheritance, they were given the inheritance from the other tribes. You know what I believe Caleb did? I believe he looked at the best he had and he gave that to the Levites. Complete unselfishness. And you know what? Hebron is the city that's mentioned the most. And it was the best city, and Caleb gave the best to back to the Lord. And you know what I believe this? I believe that selfishness is the main reason why mountains aren't being taken for God. I believe it's selfishness. I believe that people are too concerned with the things that revolve around self. And because self is involved, no mountains are being taken nowadays. You wonder why you look around and see the junk going around in so-called churches these days? It's because people are selfish. People don't want to come to a place where they hear the Word of God preached. They want to go to a place where, as the Bible says, they have itching ears. They want their ears tickled because they're selfish. Because truth sometimes, folks, hurts, doesn't it? As we know, coming from this pulpit. And sometimes truth doesn't always feel good. Sometimes when I walk out that door, I don't always feel real good leaving a church service. But that's okay. Because you're not always supposed to feel good. You're supposed to get right. And sometimes getting right doesn't feel very good. But you know what? Selfishness is part of the reason, is probably the main reason why mountains aren't being taken for God today. You know what? I think this right here, this unselfishness, caps off perfectly the life of Caleb. Now I think it tells us what kind of man he truly was. The fact that he would go to all the work he went through to claim this mountain. And the very best on that mountain, I mean, after all, he was the one that drove out the inhabitants. He was the one that, you know, had to come up with the battle plan and had to rally his troops and take this mountain. You would think that Hebron would have been his trophy. I mean, you know, after all, God did give it to him. But yet Caleb, in his unselfishness, gives it back to the Levites. And I believe that, you know what? God deserves the best of our time. God deserves the best of our health. God deserves the best of our money. God deserves the best of everything. And I think if we as Christians don't give God the best, we're shortchanging God. And I think we as Christians should give God the best. If you want to take a mountain, you got to be unselfish. You got to be able to give everything, give your all. And you know what? Even though God deserves the best, and this thought, and this principle is thought-provoking. Even though God deserves the best, it must be willingly given. You know what? As you may have noticed, the ushers, when they pass the plates around here, they don't have a 45 in the other hand demanding that you put your tithe in. I'm sure there are days Pastor Jerry wished they were, okay? But you know what? You know what? We don't wait on the roof on Wednesday nights or on Sunday mornings and sniper the guys who didn't show up for the work parties. Okay? That's not what we do around here. You know why? Because anything that is done here for God is done out of a heart of unselfishness. And that's how God likes it. God wants us to willingly give. God doesn't want us to give out of a greedy heart, out of selfishness. We must be unselfish and give willingly to see that the work gets done. You want to take a mountain? It takes unselfishness to take a mountain for God. It takes complete obedience to the will of God. It takes dedication. It takes submission to God's man. And it takes unselfishness. Now, you know what? I believe there's some mountains God wants us to take. There are some spiritual heights that God wants us to do for Him. I believe every ministry here, every Christian here, has a mountain that God wants them to capture for Him. Now, if we're going to do it, we got to do it God's way. Okay? We can't go about and we can't do it our own way and expect to accomplish something for God. We must have complete obedience to God's will. We must be dedicated to God's will. We must be submissive to God's man. And we must be unselfish. Well, I'm going to end the service in a unique way tonight. If I can have Rebecca come to the piano, please. And let's all stand and take our songbooks. Let's turn to page 328. Let's end the message with a song, none other than "I Want That Mountain." Let's sing the first and the last verse.
I saw the giant princess up on the mountain high.
If we want it, it's there for the taking. If we want it, but we got to do it God's way.